Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
I look at my circumstances and they're not what I wish they were, perhaps. They're challenging, they're difficult, they're depressing, they're potentially discouraging. But then I look at them and I say, you know what? No, God said that all things work together for good. And so I'm going to believe that. I'm going to stand on that. And when I do that, the result is rest. I can rest.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, in a message titled, Resting in the Lord. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And our text this morning is going to be from the fourth chapter of Hebrews. As many of you know, we are studying through the epistle to the Hebrews, and we more or less finished up the fourth chapter, but I wanted to come back and just highlight a few things here from the fourth chapter. And talking about, as I mentioned, that subject of rest, the kind of the bigger theme of the fourth chapter is the rest that there is for the people of God. And there's two aspects to that. There's the rest that we experience when we put our faith in Christ and we cease from our own works. We're resting in the finished work of Jesus. I don't have to save myself. I can't save myself. And I don't have to work up some kind of righteousness that's acceptable to God. I've entered into the perfect righteousness of Christ, and so I'm resting. I'm resting in that salvation. And that was the primary exhortation that the author's giving to the Hebrew believers who were sort of drifting back into a works kind of a relationship with God. But then there's a secondary application of the idea of resting, and that's what we want to talk about today. So we're talking today about, as believers, we're secure in the fact that Christ has saved us, and we're not, you know, trying to save ourselves through our own good works. But sometimes we find ourselves, because of our personal circumstances or because of the insanity of the world that we live in, we find ourselves unsettled. We find ourselves filled with anxiety. We find ourselves coming under depression and discouragement. And that's not what God desires for us either. God wants us as his people not only to rest secure in the fact that he saved us, but he wants us to rest secure in the fact that he's going to take care of the difficulties and the problems and the challenges that we face in life as we make our way ultimately to heaven. And so here in this fourth chapter of Hebrews, I want to just draw your attention to four reasons why we can rest. And let me read to you from verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. And then verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So, four reasons to rest. Reason number one, we can rest because God's word is true. God's word is true. He says in verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful. And in the context, he's pointing out the truth of God's word. What God has said in ancient times still remains a reality today. And so we can rest in what God has told us in his word. And as we look at, for example, maybe the things that we're personally going through, the challenges that we are facing from whatever angle they might be coming at us from, we can rest in the truth of God's word that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. We can, if we believe that, like Romans 8 says, if we believe that, you know, that causes us to rest. I look at my circumstances and they're not what I wish they were, perhaps. They're challenging, they're difficult, they're depressing, they're potentially discouraging. But then I look at them and I say, you know what? No, God said that all things work together for good. And so I'm going to believe that. I'm going to stand on that. And when I do that, the result is rest. I can rest because I can look at the situation and I can say, you know, this isn't going to harm me the way I fear that it's going to harm me. This isn't going to result in some, you know, negative kind of outcome. The reality is it is in some way, shape, or form, it's advancing the good work of God in my life. You know, I was talking to my wife recently, and she was telling me how the Lord spoke to her that her rest, her peace, would just, you know, correspond to her trust. And as long as she continues to trust God in certain areas, she has peace. But the minute she starts to worry about these things, the minute she starts to try to figure them out, the minute she starts to think about all the potential negative possibilities, then she's in a place of anxiety, a place of agitation. And that's how it is with us. But we have the sure word of God. We have the certain word of God. We have these promises. And so in our own lives personally, we can rest in this, that God loves us and God has a plan and that God is working that plan out in our lives. And all things are working together for good. All things. Now, of course, sometimes we struggle with believing that. There have been times in my life where I had to really look at a situation and say, are you sure, God, that all things work together for good? I mean, you know, I can understand some things. I can even sometimes agree that most things. But there have been times in my life where I'm looking at the predicament that I'm in and I am just saying, now, how could this thing work together for good? But you see, this is where faith in God's word comes in. I can't figure it out. I can't see how this is possibly going to be a good thing in the end. But by faith, I just lay hold of that promise of God and realize that he's able to make all things work together for good. So we rest in that personally. When we look at the, you know, maybe it's not anything directly personal that is causing the unsettledness of your heart right now. Maybe it's just kind of more of an anxiety that is due to the fact that the world itself is so unsettled. The world itself is so crazy. You know, I think we are living, at least as far as I can remember back, we're living in really difficult, challenging times in a lot of ways. And I'm not just talking about, you know, our particular situation. I'm talking about more of a global kind of a perspective on things. We're doing pretty good right here in Costa Mesa, Orange County, you know, things, life's pretty good. But man, when you look at some of the crazy stuff that's going on around the globe, just returning from Europe, we saw firsthand, because of the geographical proximity to the Middle East, we are seeing this migration into Europe from the Middle East. All of these people fleeing ISIS and, you know, coming from Syria, coming from Iraq, coming from Libya, and these great numbers of immigrants coming in, you know, walking through some of the streets of some of these European cities and seeing large numbers of Muslims and realizing that many of them are recently there in these cities because they fled from their homes. They fled from their countries. And so you see that kind of, you know, craziness that's happening over there. And then you look and you sort of wonder, at least I do, I wonder, you know, is there a point where, you know, some military power is going to take this thing seriously and say, you know, we've got to stop this before it infects the whole world. These kinds of things have a tendency to create an anxiety. And when we see the way the culture is going, when we see the increasing moral darkness in our land, you know, as a Christian, you're sensitive to this, right? And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to be filled with fear. It's easy to be in a place where you're not resting. But again, this is where we come back and we just stand upon God's word. That God's word is true, and that despite where the world is presently at, we know that there's a day coming when all of the wrongs are going to be righted. There's a day coming when the righteous will be vindicated. There's a day coming when the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so we stand on those promises and we wait for those things, and we look and we say, well, yes, I understand that we're living in challenging times, but I have this confidence, I have this faith, I have this hope that Jesus is going to come and he's going to make it right. And that brings me peace. And that's what God intends. He intends his word to give us peace and rest so we can rest because of God's word, because it's true. Because what God said is absolutely the case. Whatever I'm going through, God's going to work it out for good. Whatever's happening on the bigger picture of the international scene, we know that God is bringing about things and allowing things to happen so he can ultimately fulfill his plan and purpose. So that's number one. Secondly, we can rest because nothing escapes the attention of God. Look at verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You know, that brings me rest. To know that nothing escapes God's attention. You know, the truth of the matter is nobody is getting away with anything. Amen. You know, isn't it true sometimes that we're so filled with anxiety because it seems like the wicked keep prospering? I mean, this 37th Psalm that we read here, that's what the whole point is. The psalmist is talking about the fact that evil men seem to be prospering and the righteous seem to be suffering. And what does he say? You know, fret not because of evildoers. But that's something that we tend to do, right? We fret when we see evil being done. We fret when we see justice being passed over. We fret when we see the wicked being vindicated and the righteous being oppressed. We look at the plight of whether it's the unborn or we look at the plight of the children. I just spent quite a bit of time in Europe with some friends who do international adoption ministry. They're engaged in adoption and working with oppressed children all over the world. And you know, you hear some of the stories and you see some of what's happening. And all of these things, you tend to look and you think, God, is there ever going to be justice? And how is it, Lord, that these people continue to seemingly get away with these things? But here's the truth. Nobody's getting away with anything in the end. And we have to believe God's word. That brings us rest. When we recognize and realize that nothing escapes the attention of God, he sees, not only does he see what we see, he sees a lot more. You know, have you ever had a time where you're like, Lord, have you seen what they're doing? And I've had that, and God responds back to me like, oh yeah, and they're doing a lot more than you can see. But I've seen it all. And don't worry, I'm taking care of it. There's nothing that escapes God's attention. I find comfort in that. I find rest in that. I can just say, Lord, you know, and it's all going to come out. Jesus made that clear over and over again. What you say in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops. And so God sees, he knows. Thirdly, we can rest because we have a sympathetic high priest. We have a sympathetic high priest, someone who knows our trouble, someone who knows our plight, someone who knows our affliction, not theoretically, but somebody who knows it experientially because they've been there. There's not one thing that we could ever come to God with and say, Lord, I've got this problem, I've got this burden, I've got this thing, but Lord, you would never understand this. Well, of course, God understands everything from the fact that he's omniscient, but he understands it from experience as well. Because Jesus, as we're told here, he was tempted or tested or tried in all points as we are. But sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget that we have a sympathetic high priest. We forget that when we come to God with our burdens, that he's not indifferent toward us. He's not disinterested in what we've got to say, but he's fully attentive, and he's been in that place. You know, when you meet somebody who has suffered in a similar fashion as to maybe what you're going through, you know, you find that there's an element of not just sympathy, but there's empathy there. There's some comfort that you take in that. I know for me, the people that have gone through things, I might not have even known that they had gone through them, and I might be, you know, sharing with them something that I'm struggling with, and they respond back and say, hey, you know, I went through something just like that. Wow, the moment they say that encourages me. What, really, you know what I'm talking about? You've been there yourself, and this is what God did for you? Oh, that just strengthens my heart. That encourages me so much. And with Jesus, that's the case. As I was reading through Luke this week and just kind of coming to the end of the gospel there, a couple of things stood out. The blind man in Jericho. Jesus is passing through Jericho and there's a blind man and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. And all of a sudden he jumps up, he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he begins to shout that and the people around him are saying, be quiet, shut up. Don't bother Jesus. And they, of course, thought that that would be an inconvenience to Jesus. Of course, he's got more important things to do. He's not interested in this guy. But, you know, Jesus stops and he comes to him and he asks him, what can I do for you? Oh, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus gives him his sight. But I just think of that, how Jesus is not indifferent. You know, sometimes we, even as Christians, we can be indifferent to the plight of people, can't we? Oh, don't bother me with that right now. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm weary. You know, when you're traveling and you're kind of just burned out and, you know, and then you're going along and, you know, maybe you're in a crowded situation and just suddenly everybody around you is just irritating the heck out of you. They're not in trying to do it, but just the fact that they're there is irritating because you're tired. And, you know, you're tired of being in this crowd. You're tired of getting pushed and bumped into and people cutting in front of you and all of that kind of stuff. You know, that's just humanity. We wear out. But, you know, there's never a time when we come to Jesus and he says, you know what, I'm just too tired to deal with you right now. Man, just don't bug me. You humans, you've just been, you know, you're just exhausting me. We come to Jesus and he's always right there. He's ready. The disciples, they understandably thought that, no, they were probably tired. They were probably over it. They were probably like, no, not another person that's going to try to, you know, they might have been trying to get somewhere to get some dinner. And, oh no, Jesus is going to stop and he's going to take all this time and we are so hungry. But you know, it's also, as I was reading in Luke, I thought, as I read that familiar passage of Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane, you know, sometimes you'll read something and it, for whatever reason, it just kind of leaps off the page at you like it maybe normally doesn't. But as I read this, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, take it away. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And for some reason, when I read that the other day, I just thought, wow, you know, here Jesus, this is the climactic moment in this whole ministry. This is why he came into the world for this very hour, as he said. And yet, as he faces this, he says, "Father, if this cup can pass from me." And I thought, wow, there's that tempted in all points as we are. We talked about that earlier as we looked at the suffering of Christ. But those are the things. We have a sympathetic high priest, and he's always sympathetic. And we're never going to come to him with something that he isn't familiar with himself. And we can rest in that. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. He understands. I love the 103rd Psalm where there it says that he knows our frame. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. I love that picture. God knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. And as he's promised in so many places, he's not going to allow us to be tested beyond our ability to endure. He's not going to allow these things to destroy us. He's going to come to our aid as our sympathetic high priest. And then fourthly, we can rest because God has an unlimited supply of grace available to us to strengthen us to meet the challenges that we face. There's an unlimited supply of grace. You know, I have noticed this. We, in regard to trials and testing and tribulations and difficulties, our first thought and generally our first request is, "Lord, don't let me go through this. Lord, get me out of this. Extract me from this situation." That's mostly what we pray, isn't it? But you know what I have found? Although God does do that occasionally, I think it's quite rare, actually. I think it's quite rare that he just completely delivers us from all trials and difficulties. And obviously, the Bible supports this theory because the Bible continues to remind us that in the world, we will have tribulation.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Years ago, Brian, who's in studio with me right now, said, "Cheryl, we need to get really honest about our marriage to the missionaries here in Austria. We need to tell them just the things that God has done in our marriage and how it hasn't always been easy." And so I said, "Okay, Brian, I'll do it." And it was quite a sacrifice. And what I found out was
that somebody actually was recording that session and a video was produced from it. So it kind of came as a surprise to us. But as a result of that video, a lot of people somehow got blessed. And so that is our offer for this month.
My humiliation.
Your humiliation. And it's called Marriage Essentials. And it's from a few years ago. But I have had numerous people, seriously, over the years tell me how much it ministered to them. I've had people tell me that they've used it to share with their unbelieving friends. And because, you know, somehow it ended up being a very humorous occasion.
Well, our marriage is pretty humorous.
Pretty humorous.
Yeah. It's got a lot of joy.
Yeah. All right. So that's a DVD, Marriage Essentials.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Marriage Essentials and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl that is sure to be a great gift for newlyweds, a help for marriages in trouble, and it's also an excellent tool for a marriage ministry. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.